right, we'll call the meeting of the zoning board of appeals to order. All right, would you please call the roll?
Chairman Martin.
Here.
Ms. Davis.
Here.
Mr. Dombrowski. Not here. Mr. Lucchese.
Here.
Mr. Plavac.
Here.
Ms. Schubkegel.
Here.
Mr. Smetana.
Here.
All right, the first thing on our agenda this evening is to approve the minutes from our last meeting on October 14th. These were distributed as circulated. Has everybody had an opportunity to review them? Somebody want to make a motion to approve the minutes?
I make a motion to approve the minutes.
Is there a second?
Second.
Any discussion or correction? All right, so it's been moved and seconded that we approve the minutes from our meeting on October 14th. Would you please call the roll?
Okay, calling a roll of the members who were in attendance at October 14th. Chairman Martin.
Yes.
Ms. Davis.
Yes.
Mr. Dombrowski. Not here. Mr. Lucchese.
Yes.
Mr. Plavac.
Yes.
Mr. Smetana.
Yes.
All right, the next matter on our agenda this evening is a request for a zoning variation for the property at 1111 Bonnie Bray. We ask that everyone who's going to address this evening, would you stand up and get sworn in, please?
Okay. To those who will testify at the public hearing, you are reminded that the Village River Forest Village Code makes it unlawful for any person to knowingly make a false statement of material fact to the village in connection with any application, report, affidavit, oath, certification, or attestation. Violations are punishable as a petty offense with a fine. Please raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that you will give true testimony relative to the matter before this Zoning Board of Appeals?
I do. All right, could you just identify yourself for the record and then make your presentation, please?
Yeah. My name is Shantanu Kamra. I am the current owner for 1111 Bonnie Bray.
And would you explain the application and the variation that you're seeking, please?
Sure. So I'm requesting a parking zoning variation for 1111 Bonnie Bray. I closed on the property 2 months ago, exactly 2 months ago, and the variation is to demolish the existing frame car garage, which can only accommodate 4 cars, and build an open parking pad for 7 cars. The building 1111 Bonnie Bray is a 6-flat building. So once it's rehabbed, I'm looking to have 6 tenants occupy the building. Therefore, the existing parking structure, which can only accommodate 4 cars, would be insufficient to meet the parking demands for the 6-flat building.
Okay.
The parking zoning variation that I'm requesting today, you know, to the zoning board and Chairman Frank Martin, involves 2 building codes. One is code number 10/11/8 that talks about off-street parking. As per the village building code section 10/11/8, each apartment needs to have 2.5 parking spots. Therefore, a 6-flat building would typically have a new construction 6-flat would have 15.5 parking spots. With the open parking pad that I am proposing and requesting an approval for, it can only accommodate 7 open parking spaces. So that is parking zoning variation 1. The second parking zoning variation that I am requesting today is for code 10/11/8E, which talks about the enclosed parking spaces. as per the building code section 10118E, 75% of all required parking spaces, which in this case is, you know, it would be 75% would be 10 parking spaces out of 15, have to be enclosed. With the open parking pad that I propose, there would be none enclosed parking spaces.
Okay.
Any questions before I move to the next section, which is the standards for major variations, and I can talk about each of the standards and how this would affect and impact the block, the community, and the residents.
Well, go ahead and you don't have to read the standards.
Okay.
If you want to address them, that's fine. And then as we have questions for you, we'll go ahead and ask them.
Sure. So the first standard is the physical surrounding standard. So like I had talked about, the current parking structure can only accommodate four cars with two separate car garages, so two separate garage doors. This obviously would be insufficient to provide adequate parking spaces for six tenants living in 1111 Bonnybrae building. Each of the seven parking spots that I propose would basically have one assigned parking space for each of the tenants, and the seventh parking space being a visitor parking space for, you know, a visitor at the building. Another standard which talks about the physical condition of the building. The current parking structure has been in existence ever since the building was constructed almost 100 years ago. They did not have the parking hardship that I am facing today, because the building and the two parking lots south of the building were bought and sold by the same owner. So they were using the parking lot on the south of the building to basically accommodate residents to park there, which obviously I don't have the privilege because the seller still owns those two parking lots. The another standard which talks about the purpose of the variation is basically to, the increased parking spaces are being requested only for the residents of the six dwelling units, not for anyone who does not reside in the building at 1111 Bonnybrae. The fifth standard talks about the granting of the variation. The increased parking spaces will not only impact the residents living at 1111 Bonnybrae, but will also reduce the burden on the block, 1100 block of Bonnybrae, and the neighbors living in the community. In order to have more privacy for the neighbor, I am happy to build a 5-foot wooden privacy fence that can be built on the northeast side of the property between these seven open parking spaces and 1115 Bonnybrae Place. Standard 6 talks about the supply of light and air. Now, the open parking pad will not impair the supply of light or air to the adjacent properties because it's not a covered carport canopy. The seventh standard talks about the granting of variation with respect to the public, tax public utilities. No public utilities, electricity, water, sewer, etc., would be affected by this change because it's an open parking space, and I'm not proposing to build another accessory dwelling unit or another parking structure. Last but not the least, the standard 8 talks about, the means other than the requested variation. No other means other than the requested variation for an open parking pad, is I could think of to avoid the parking difficulties for residents at 1111 Bonnybrae Place.
All right, anybody, any members have any questions for this applicant?
I have a question for you.
Yes, sir.
The proposed pad that you're going to put in here, where is the, because I noticed There's a lot of green in the backyard between the fence, or between the current structure and the six flat. Where is all the excess rainwater going to go from this parking pad? Are you going to slope it toward the alley?
Correct. And there is, so I think you're talking about the rear yard, the green structure on the rear yard,
mm-hmm.
and there is a green structure on the side yard running all the way through the front yard.
Okay.
So that's, yeah.
So you're going to pitch the rainwater toward the alley?
Correct.
And then the other question is this pad that you're going to pour, is it going to be asphalt or concrete?
Asphalt.
Okay.
Asphalt parking pad.
All right. Those are the only questions I have.
I have a question.
Yes, sir.
I have a question. You say you're remodeling the building. Are you adding any units, or are we talking about the units that are existing today?
No, I am not adding any apartments. I am talking about the six flats that have been in existence, you know, ever since the building was built. And I am not adding, or, you know, I'm not doing any change in the unit count for 1111 okay. Bonnie Bray.
So you're not increasing the occupancy that's already there?
No.
In the building?
No. I'm not changing. I'm not adding bedrooms. I'm not adding apartments. I'm keeping it, you know, as is.
Okay. My second question is, what are the dimensions of the spaces?
So the dimensions for, I think you're talking about the open parking pad would be 49 feet by 40, you know, a little over 40 feet. And this would be more than the garage that's almost 20 by 40 today.
No, I'm thinking more of the in the drawing you presented there, the particular spaces weren't dimensioned, and I was just wanted to confirm that the parking you're showing is basically, you know, standard space size and compliance with the zoning ordinance in terms of the dimensions.
Yeah, the dimensions of the seven parking spaces. I had some, you know, conversation with Inspector Cliff before that, and those meets the, you know, the dimensions and the measurements for each of the parking space.
Okay.
I don't have any questions. I'm good.
I've got one more question. As it stands now, the garbage receptacles for this building are on the, I believe, the south end of the garage. Is that correct?
They are on the south end of the garage, correct.
So
south and east, yeah, south.
Okay. So where would the new garbage receptacles be?
So the garbage receptacles would be at the southeast side of the building. And that, and there is an electric pole, right? Therefore, that seventh parking space we have mm-hmm. can only accommodate a compact car because okay. of the electric pole. And the garbage cans that would be south of that electric pole.
Okay, so you would have garbage cans, not like a dumpster.
Huh?
You wouldn't have like a dumpster for a building. You'd just have garbage receptacles from the village? Or
I have one dumpster and then two recyclable cans.
Okay.
Yeah, so that would stay as is, you know, south of the electric pole.
Okay, thank you.
So when did you become aware of the potential parking shortage on this lot?
After I closed on the building.
And how was the parking situation for 1111 handled prior to your purchase of the building?
Prior to me purchasing 1111 Bonnie Bray, 1111 Bonnie Bray and the two adjoining lots, which are currently used as parking, you know, by I don't know, everyone and anyone parks there. They were, the residents at 1111 Bonnie Bray were using that parking lot for parking for almost 100 years now, 90 years.
And you didn't realize when you bought the building that the parking was deficient. Is that true?
After I closed on the building, yeah, when I met the architect, we are working on the drawings, plans. At that point, I realized that the parking would be an issue.
Have you investigated any other alternative sites for your tenants to park after you completed your rehab work?
I have tried. I think there is no street parking on Bonnybrae. And there is no available. Even if I have to pay someone, I could not find any parking spaces for residents at 1111 Bonnybrae.
Did you inquire of Concordia about the use of their parking structure?
Yes, I did. And they have a nice size garage that's only for use by the students who are enrolled in Concordia, or their parents, or families. And I called them because it's right opposite the building.
The parking lot. Did you make any inquiry of the Priory parking lot on the north side of Division?
North side of Division. Unfortunately, I'm not aware of that parking space.
So how many units in this building, after you completed the rehab, will meet the village standards of affordable housing?
There would be 6 dwelling units after the rehab is complete.
And how many of those 6 units will meet the village standards to be classified as affordable housing?
I do not know. I apologize, yeah.
Okay. Are you willing to commit that any of the units will meet this standard so they can be classified as affordable housing?
Sure, I can look into it, yeah. If that's something, that would help, I'm happy to, classify a few units as affordable housing.
And have you given any thought? It's my recollection that the alley on the south side of that building was reconstructed within the last 4 or 5 years.
Yes.
And I think there's permeable. Yes. Isn't the brick part of it?
Yes, it
that's
is.
Permeable. Have you would give any thought to constructing your parking lot so that it's a permeable material rather than asphalt, as you previously answered?
I can look into the permeable, because once this is approved, I would work with a civil engineer. And if permeable parking structure is a better option, I have no problems with doing a permeable structure than just asphalt.
So my concern is that you're required to have 15 parking places approximately for the building. And you're asking us for 7, one of which was for guests. Where are the other people supposed to park?
Each resident would have 1 assigned parking space.
And are you gonna vet the residents and tell them they can only have 1 car if they're gonna be your tenant?
Unfortunately, that's a limitation, and I would put that pretty open in the rental listing, that each apartment comes with only 1 parking space.
Okay. Anybody else have any questions? Well, it seems to me that what we're being asked to bail out this owner after he bought the property, and for whatever reason he was unaware of the village code for parking when he bought the property. It seems to me that if we're going to approve this, that I would suggest that it'd be conditioned upon the parking structure, the pavement being permeable, because the village just made a big improvement of that north-south alley behind the building within the last 5 years, I would say. And I think that, you know, since he's asking us for some relief, we ought to condition any approval on two of the units being priced to be affordable housing under our code. So that helps us toward that goal. I mean, those are, and the other question I wanted to ask you, Cliff, is there any requirements in a parking lot like this for ADA spaces?
Technically, I would say yes, there is a requirement. There should be one accessible parking space.
So if there's an accessible parking space, he's not even going to get 7 parking spaces here, is he?
Not with that current layout, correct. Of course, maybe his architect could be creative and figure something out in that department.
Cliff, I have a question. So if he renovates all 6 units, he doesn't need to do anything with his garage, right? He can just keep it as is.
He could. I mean, it's not, they're not increasing the number of units that are there. In the village archives, it was originally 3 apartments in 1926, and in the 1950s, there was approval to change it into, to divide it and to turn it into 6. Concordia owned it at that time, and I think they were looking at it as student parking, and the village gave them permits to do that, to divide the units. So that's why there's 6 units there today.
If you remember, one of the plans that came before the plan development board was they were gonna make it that building into 3 units. They were going to make the units bigger so they'd be the same size as a floor.
Was that plan that we before the board development board, were they going to knock that down? I thought they were going to knock that one.
No,
down.
They were going to renovate. They were going to renovate that building.
The first plan was to renovate that and to change it from 6 units to 3 units. Okay. That not the one that was we dealt with most recently.
Okay.
So I think this is a pretty severe ask, you know, to go from 15 units, 15 parking spaces to 7 and maybe even less than that if, because I think the village will insist it be ADA compliant.
I think though it's a net improvement, and if we said no, I mean, you could just renovate the units and leave the garage. As is, I think this is a net benefit. I mean, I don't have a problem with making it permeable. I do have a problem with putting, you know, other restrictions such as affordable housing on it, because I just don't think that's fair for this particular building. But.
I mean, I passed by that garage. That's really not in great shape, needless to say. And if this was an improvement on parking, but it still falls way short of what the village requires. Now, is it a net benefit? Yeah, it's going to benefit, because now you're not going to have as many cars on the street or in other parking lots. But at the same point, there are rules, and they're there for a reason.
But in reality, there's no way he's going to get 15 parking spots. In reality, he's...
Even 6... Because if you have to have an ADA compliant space, you lose that compact space right there.
So we'll have 6, 1 per unit at the end of it all.
It's not the worst thing in the world, but
the alternative is 4 right now.
Yeah.
But those are covered.
Right.
These are not covered at all.
So
well, I mean, as part of the a condition to approval, we can condition it upon the limitation that there's only one car per unit would be allowed in the building.
So I just wanted to mention, because there's been a discussion about limitation on or an openness of the owner to allow for a certain portion of the units to be affordable housing units. Some of you members have discussed the affordable housing plan, having been involved in the plan commission, and we certainly discussed it at the DRB level for some of you members in our last meeting. You can't quote me on this amount, but for a two-bedroom, low-rise, multifamily unit, affordable housing rate would be somewhere around $1,200 to $1,300 a month. So that's what we're talking about. Just in openness and fairness. And the conditions that have been discussed this evening are fair conditions. The type of surface of the parking lot, the indication that the potential renters would be identified or would be notified that only one car a parking spot was available per unit. I think that would be a better way to frame it rather than limiting how many cars a person could have. But all the other conditions are within the scope of a variation.
You said you were going to have lighting in the lot, correct?
Correct.
Okay.
The other condition that was discussed, I think the applicant preferred was a fence to screen it from the property to the northeast. And I think that would be a condition we would impose on the on any approval.
That would be a wooden privacy fence for the neighbors, yeah.
All right, Mr.
Because obviously having it enclosed, that's one of the objectives of having enclosed parking, is to screen the vehicles from neighboring properties.
Cliff, have there been any comments or anything submitted to the village from any of the neighbors who were notified?
No, we have not received any comments from the neighbors.
So the neighbors are in support of this open parking pad. I've met Miss Pam Kendi several times. I've spoken with her. You know, I meet her often, and then she said, "Yeah, she's in support, as long as I can have a wooden privacy fence between the parking and the her property."
And how far west would that privacy fence extend?
Up to there is a chain link fence right now up to the same point, which is it touches the building, the wooden privacy fence between the two properties.
Okay, I don't know where the chain link fence is, so would the wooden privacy fence go far enough west to screen all of the parking spaces?
Yes, it would go all the way west to cover the whole parking, open parking pad. And the garage I have right now, even though it looks like it could accommodate four cars, but it has only two garage doors. So if I have, then the tenants have to work between themselves, who gets the garage door opener, and if there is any, So the existing, it looks like a four-car garage, but it's very difficult and management-intensive to coordinate between four different tenants if it has only two garages.
You can get a number of garage door openers. I don't see that that's a problem. All right. Any other questions for this applicant?
Would you be willing to make... If it were approved, would you be willing to, with specific materials, would you be willing to make this parking pad out of concrete and have permeable pavers in the middle?
Yes. Concrete and permeable paver. Yep.
All right, well, if someone wants to make a motion, if there's a motion made to approve this request for variation, I would suggest that the following conditions be added to the approval. Number one, that the parking lot is ADA compliant. Number two, that the parking lot is permeable. It has permeable surface in it, let's say to match the adjacent alley. Number three, that it's conditioned on the construction of a 5 foot high wooden fence along the north boundary from the alley to a point past the last parking space. And number four, it's to be conditioned on the fact that two of the units in the building would be meet the current village standards for affordable housing.
So, Chairman Martin, as to the last condition, because the application is not seeking a specific use of the building, I don't know that it would be appropriate to include a condition on the use of the unit, although I think it would be entirely appropriate to include in the recommendation and the findings that it's the ZBA's feeling that that we would encourage the use of two of those units to be affordable, and an indication that the owner had an open discussion with the members and appeared to be open to that decision.
To me, that's kind of meaningless. I'd rather put it as a condition, and if the board doesn't want that condition, they'll say you people will tell me that it won't be accepted. But he's come in here asking us to go from 15 parking spaces to six, basically. I agree that the private previous owners of this property were parking in the lot to the south of it. That lot's still there. It could be used, I suspect, right now for parking. It's for sale, but it's not. It hasn't been sold, as far as I know. You know, he's asking us for a big favor, I think, is the way I look at it. And I think that since we, as the village, know that we are short affordable housing spaces, this is an opportunity to work toward remedying that problem. That's my justification for asking that condition be imposed.
And certainly, because this is the first discussion on it tonight, we can provide a further opinion. I'm just in my review of the code right now, and specifically the section regarding conditions. My initial opinion is, and feeling is, that it may not be a condition that is, as the code indicates, relates specifically to the purposes and objectives of the specific zoning title, which is for variations. That may be incorrect, but I certainly agree that if you do have a willing owner that would like to open that door and provide some affordable units, that may very well be the case. It may be different if it was an unwilling owner who was willing to object to the condition if the village board approved it in that manner.
As per the village ordinance, this thing affordable never came up, but I'm more than happy to make two units affordable. Does it depend on the market rent? Does it has to be certain percent below what a market rate tenant would pay? Does that mean that I have to rent to Section 8 tenants, or does that mean I have to rent to families that have a certain income below the median area income? How does village define an apartment affordable?
Actually, neither of those. It's defined by federal standards based on a percentage of your rent paid towards your monthly income. And it's defined by housing and urban development standards. So, for instance, in our previous hearing in another commission, we discussed zero or one bedroom units. That rent was just under $1,000. So for a two bedroom, at the table I'm looking at right now, which appears to be the most recent one, it looks like it's somewhere between $1,200 and $1,300 a month for a two-bedroom unit. So it's below market rate for the area and for the Chicagoland metro area, which River Forest would be included in.
Gotcha.
And it does not require any sort of that a tenant receives any sort of assistance or that they have a certain income level. It does not require that.
Got it. Got it. Okay.
So are you willing to change to include in your application the stipulation that two of the units will conform with the affordable housing standards?
Absolutely. Yeah, I can make it as part of the application.
Fine.
So
we don't have to. It's not a condition because he's going to amend his application to include that statement.
Okay, and can we just take that amendment right now?
Yeah.
Sure, and I think even more so, it will indicate it in the findings in the minutes that the applicant had a discussion with the commission, with the board. And the village can provide further information on. You can look at the village's fair housing plan.
Sure.
And certainly that information is publicly available as well.
Got it. Thank you so much.
So I will make a motion to approve with the three conditions, the ADA compliance, the permeable lot, and the fence. And the chain link fence is on the plat of survey, but that would just extend.
Correct. Beyond.
So with that condition, I would just move to.
And can I just make one brief clarification on the ADA issue? So it, and I certainly understand and agree with the condition. Are we talking about that the required number of ADA accessible spaces per village code would be required, or that the entire parking lot is ADA accessible? Because we're
just
two different things.
Is it just one?
It's just one spot that will be required on a small lot like that.
So that's what we'll indicate then in the findings.
Is that those spaces wider?
Yes.
Yeah, because
then he wouldn't even get six spots.
I was just going to say that. Then he's
well,
five.
It's his spaces are drawn at 8.5 feet wide. The standard parking space is 16 feet. So it's not quite two spaces there. So, and you do have some room for.
Well, you could eliminate just the compact space. And then
yeah, that would probably be what you would wind up doing, eliminating. Compact space
on that one side.
And that one side, yes.
And then that becomes the ADA compliant parking space.
Right.
Okay, so it's been moved. Mr. Dombrowski made a motion. Do we have a second?
I second it.
Okay, it's been moved and seconded. Do we recommend to the Village Board of Trustees the approval of this variation with these three conditions attached? And based on the owner's amendment to his application to indicate that two of the units will comply with the ADA, or the Affordable Housing Act standards. Any discussion on that? All right, you want to call the roll, Mr. Harris.
Mr. Smetana.
Yes.
Ms. Schubkegel. Mr. Plavach?
Yes.
Mr. Lucchese?
No.
Mr. Dombrowski?
Yes.
Ms. Davis?
Yes.
Chairman Martin?
Yes.
6-1.
All right, so the recommendation of the village, of our board, to the village board, will be that the variation be granted subject to these conditions that we've enumerated. There'll be a subsequent meeting of our board where the findings of fact will be approved that have to go to the village. Mr. Raddatz can tell you, I don't know if we'll meet in December or wait till January to do it, but that's the timing that we're looking at. All right, thank you for coming this evening. There's anything else on the agenda, Cliff?
Thank you.
There are no applications for next month yet.
Okay. They're supposed to be in by the 15th or else they don't.
Right, which is Monday.
Right. Any questions by any of the members? We have a motion to dismiss.
Make a motion to dismiss.
There's a second?
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Thank you for coming.